high school football, college football, and the NFL. We're broadcasting games at all three levels and breaking it all down. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Again, everybody, Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues right here on The Roar. 654 Roar is the number. We got a couple people predicting a Maryland win over Indiana. Whew, I don't know about all that. I mean, Malik Washington's pretty good. I think that kid's probably going to end up in the portal at QB1. But I don't know if I can trust Mike Locksley over Kurt Cignetti in that one, John. That would be my main hesitancy as the coaches.
If this was September Maryland, sure. Because September Maryland beats everybody in the country. This is October and potentially November, Maryland. No.
Yeah.
No.
I do like the exercise of trying to pick that team out, though, that you think is going to get them, because I do think there's something to be said about that, right? And I don't think that Indiana is this impenetrable force, but John and I were kind of bouncing some things off each other during the break. Indiana's lost two football games since Kurt Cignetti got to Bloomington, and it's to the national champions and the runner-ups. Seriously. And they were on the road in both of those games. They have not lost a home or a neutral, if I'm not mistaken, because they went to Ohio State and they got smacked. Then they went to South Bend in the playoff. They have not lost a home or a neutral game under Kurt Cignetti, and their two losses in the entire Cignetti era in Bloomington are to the national champion and the runner-up. That is unfathomable. I know they had a little bit of a cupcake schedule last year. You can take that and you can... You can take it to where you know what, because guess what? They've got two top 10 wins on their resume this year, one on their home field, one going on the road to Eugene. They beat the number 3 Oregon Ducks this year. I am just so impressed by what Indiana has accomplished and what Cignetti's accomplished. I don't think you can talk enough about it, John, but yeah, that's when you frame it like that and you think about the only two losses that guy has are to the national champion and the runner-up, it kind of shifts your expectations for the rest of the way, and that's why I have confidence they're going to handle business against this inferior competition, John.
I like it. I like it. Like I said, right now I'd rank Indiana number 1.
I love it.
I think they can go... I mean, they'll definitely be in the playoff.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. It's just about how high are you going to seed them.
Yeah, that is definitely the question as of right now. 654 Roar, if you want to get in. We're going to take a hard right turn on the program. We're going to shift gears to some preview mode. And I want to start Friday night games, if you're good with that. I know we got a couple on Thursday. We'll talk about those. Louisville-Miami, this spread is kind of throwing me for a blender. But the closer we get, I think Miami might kill them. Like, I think this might be Miami by 25 points on Friday night in Coral Gables. When I look at this group that Cristobal's got on his hands this year, I see a confident and swagger-laden football team. This is a football team that wants to take it to you for all 60 minutes. They're in your face. They're doing a good job of being physical. They're taking it to teams on the line of scrimmage. And this is my biggest issue with Louisville, because I really am leaning towards blowout. Miami was the easiest pick of the week for me for this reason alone. Have you watched Louisville play? And have you watched how much their offensive line has struggled to get push in the run game, even against inferior opponents?
Yeah, they're not great up front.
I think Miami's defensive line is about to have a fiesta. They're about to throw a party with how much they're going to be in the backfield on Miller Moss. And then you also have to incorporate the fact that Miller Moss, not a very mobile or good quarterback for Louisville. I think this is a really, really bad matchup for the Cardinals, and it has more to do with schematics and strengths and weaknesses than my overall view on the two football teams. I just think that Miami's strengths are exactly what Louisville is bad at, if that makes sense.
I do not push back whatsoever. I think the one bit of pause I have here is we have seen a couple of times, really in the second half of some games, that Miami can start thinking about the nightlife before the game is over.
A backdoor cover is what you're getting at.
Yes. Yeah. With Jeff Brohm, the way that he can call things up, I kind of like the backdoor covers when I'm thinking in the contest. I don't think that even if Miami, unless they just come in thinking like, hey, man, we've got this. It's all good, man. We've made it. Put this thing in cruise control, which I don't think that they will do under Mario Cristobal. But you have to at least give that a little bit of thought, right? That Miami, of all teams, may check out a little bit.
I also think there's something to be said, and the only reason, like, again, you roll the ball up, Miami's going to be not just a favorite. Miami's going to be a double-digit favorite in every game the rest of the season, with the only exception being SMU, and even then, that might get to double digits, right? Louisville, Stanford, SMU, Syracuse, NC State, VT, Pitt, but we have seen Cristobal choke down the stretch before, and then here's another thing and another element of this, John, that I've been thinking of. Cristobal's never been in this position as a head coach. He's never been this overwhelming of a favorite in a national power to where it's their minus 2,500 to make the playoff, and they're having everybody in the country tell them they're a top three team in the country. He's never had to coach with this level of expectations, and the minor expectations that have crept in have made them crumble. So I believe Miami has an argument to be the best team in the country. I picked them in the playoff in the preseason. I picked them in the championship game in the preseason, all because the talent is the best it's ever been. I'm worried about Cristobal Cristobaling it up at some point. I don't know if Louisville's that opponent, but I would be lying to you if I said I had 100% confidence. That little Cristobal, you just, the gaffes are in the back of my brain, John. I can't get that Virginia or the Georgia Tech loss out of my head.
Neither can he. Also, to your, I will give a little bit of pushback. If Clemson beats SMU on Saturday, Miami will be a double-digit favorite at SMU.
You think so?
Yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I think that will be a – people will start to fade SMU if you lose to lowly Clemson.
Carson Beck's going to have a – Tony's going to have a field day on that you SMU would expect. Secondary. Yeah.
You would expect. You would expect. But right now they got to get past Louisville on Friday night. But that – I think that these are, you know, two better teams in the next game we're going to talk about. But the other ACC game Friday night has all the attention for me.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I want to watch JKS and this California passing attack go up against Bill Belichick's not interested program. I'm glad to hear he's now fully committed, but and he's not going anywhere, and all that type of nonsense came out of his press conference this week. But we've talked about it with a bunch of teams. Traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast is not easy. I think both these teams are bad, but I Cal's got a quarterback. They got a player.
They got a dog.
I don't think North Carolina wins this game at all. I just want to see if they have any sort of fight or response whatsoever.
That's kind of why I wouldn't say I'm monitoring it, but that's the only reason to monitor, in my opinion, for the rest of the season in relation to this North Carolina team is, will there be a point in time where the pendulum flips? Will there be a point in time where things swing in the direction of this North Carolina team? Is there ever going to be a momentum factor? Is there ever going to be a level of a buy-in factor that we see from Bill Belichick's group? I think all of those are very valid questions at this juncture, and likely the only reason to kind of stay tuned to what they're putting on tape thus far this season, John, because if we're talking about ACC champions, that's long on out the window. Use your eyes, right? And if we're talking about any level of like postseason expectations even, I think a bowl game's out of question personally already for this North Carolina team. They've yet to beat a power league opponent.
No, I think if they're going to win any game the remainder of the schedule, it's Stanford at home. I just want to see if they respond, if they show up, if they act like they care, or if they haven't checked out. Because they're going to lose at home against Virginia next week. They just are, in my opinion. I think Virginia is one of the better teams in this league. I question the commitment from all parties involved. And I know you can put out your nice statements and your we're on to California and all your Bill Belichick nonsense. If some of the WRAL reporting is true, and this could just get awful. And you know what? With all the way that they carried themselves in the offseason, that's kind of why I want to watch it. I want to watch Cal go up and just whoop them late night on the West Coast. Because they thought they could just come down to College Football and Mike Lombardi with his bad toupee could come down here and... Do you know he's the highest paid GM in college football at $1.5 million?
I mean... That's a crime to humanity that he's being compensated at that level. That if there's any big winner out of this, Bill Belichick and his staff's wallet, and then those agents. Shout out to those agents, well, man. I mean, they're borderline con artists.
I think the biggest winner in this is the Atlanta Falcons. They made the Can you believe they made the right choice in Raheem Morris over Bill Belichick?
They did, and it's not really even debatable at this point, which is breaking my brain. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Texter gets in and says, serious question, how does Cal keep getting baller quarterbacks, and can we hire their recruiting coordinator? So with this, with JKS, he was originally an Oregon commit, and there was a large sum of cash and a starting job that was coming with his departure to California after breaking that commitment. I do think a part of that was right, that Dante Moore is going to be the QB for the foreseeable future in Eugene, and maybe he ends up going to the draft after this year and you see some more portal combat. But yeah, obviously you give Cal and their staff an immense amount of credit for having Mendoza and then bringing in JKS, but JKS was a very highly regarded recruit, highly touted recruit, that pretty much everybody in the country wanted his services, and they were able to flip him with part of that, you know, playing time opportunity being a big part of the equation is my understanding. So yeah, that's kind of where you're at right now with Cal and their quarterback tree. Couple more texters getting in. Is Bill aware that he won't get the number one pick for finishing last? I'm not sure. Somebody might need to notify him because, yeah, you're not getting rewarded with anything for being this bad. Another texter gets in with some in-state convo saying, how about PC being 6-0? Yeah, very impressive for Presbyterian. I know they got Furman a little bit earlier this year, so shout out to PC. They're having a heck of a year. But, yeah, on the JKS and the Cal quarterback stuff, I really don't think that's much of anything, to be honest with you. I think it's they had money, they had a, you know, the preferred region of the country, and they had playing time available, so they flipped him from Oregon. I don't know if there's any school in the country that wouldn't have taken him if he were accessible to them, if that makes sense. So that's kind of where I'm at on Cal. Hey, let's take an early break so we don't have to cut off Bengal John, if you're good with that. But before that, I want to tell you about Morgan Coleman. Folks, fall is here. That can only mean two very exciting and important things: Clemson football and the busy fall real estate market. Cheering on the Tigers, celebrating big real estate wins, make for an exciting time in the upstate. The fall market runs September to November. Sellers' homes are prepped to list, and buyers are ready to purchase. Clemson soccer alumna Morgan Coleman is ready to assist your buying or selling needs, and of course, talk some Clemson football with you as well. You can get in contact with her by searching Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. That is Morgan Coleman Real Estate on Google. Early break, coming back to the phone lines and Bengal John right after this, right on the Roar.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
The Club Car Onward Golf Cart is now available at Golf Cart Service in Spartanburg. This cart has the history of having superior design and performance compared to regular carts. These are the carts used at resorts, RV parks, beaches, and golf course neighborhoods. Dream up your cart design and let Golf Cart Service build it for you. Golf Cart Service is your authorized club car dealer in the upstate, where you can get an Onward cart today. Visit our website, golfcartsc.com, to learn more, or visit us at 699 Southport Road. Get your Club Car Onward today and really enjoy life.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row, Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
At Ben Mason Insurance, we don't just provide insurance, we offer peace of mind to our upstate community. Whether it's auto insurance, home insurance, or life insurance, we're dedicated to safeguarding what matters most. Located at 188 Blaylock Road, Boiling Springs, we're here and ready to serve you. Call us today, 864-578-7100, and let us tailor a policy that fits your needs. Ben Mason Insurance, your trusted partner in protection.
Ready to bring the golf course to your backyard party or business event? Roland Birdie's Mobile Golf Simulator delivers all the excitement of golf with professional-grade simulators that make every swing feel real. It's perfect for parties, team building, fundraisers, or just a night of fun with friends. Rain or shine, Roland Birdies rolls up and sets you up for a great time. Book your event today at RolandBirdiesGolf.com. That's RolandBirdiesGolf.com. Roland Birdies Mobile Golf Simulator. We bring the golf party to you.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
Save up to 50% at the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Blowout Expo this weekend at the Garrison Expo Center at Clemson University. Browse the largest display of hot tubs, cold therapy tubs, swim spas, and saunas in the region from major brands at up to 50% off. Over 30 spas will be on display and immediate delivery is available. Show admission and parking are free. That's the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Blowout Expo this weekend at the Garrison Expo Center at Clemson University. Visit hottubexpo.com. That's hottubexpo.com.
Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car, motorcycle, or boating accident, you need to seek legal help as soon as possible. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, can evaluate your case to help you get the full compensation you deserve. The call and the consultation are completely free. Don't wait. Call today. 864-654-3680. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. Jerry, the Beacon opened back in 1946. How many years have we been serving great food at great prices?
Hey, Plante!
70 years. How many folks are we still serving every week?
Hey, Plante!
Well, like you always say, I like my job, but I love my customers. But can you say something other than hey, Plante?
Call it!
Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John White Boulevard in Spartanburg, where the food is still always good since 1946.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Final hour of the program continues with Faxon Childress and John Height here on 105.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines are open. Adams and Co. Roofing text line are open. Would love for you guys to get in with us, like Bengal John, who checks in on the phone lines. John, always a pleasure. Thanks for getting in with us, brother.
Thanks, Faxon. Appreciate it, John. Did I hear you correctly on Monday after the weekend saying that if Clemson got off the ball, played offense like they did on Saturday, that they probably would win out? Did I understand you correctly?
I think my comments were more about pass protection and offensive line. If Clemson protects Cade Klubnik the way that they protected him on Saturday against Boston College, and again, I know Boston College isn't some world beater on the front seven, but if they keep Cade clean in the way that they kept him clean on Saturday, yeah, I think Clemson's going to win the rest of their games.
Okay, so that being said, here's my question to you. You know I've never disagreed with you, but I don't understand how you can be so confident knowing that you still got Florida State on this schedule. And granted, they've lost a couple of games too, but they are very, very fast, and they're pretty good defensively. I think Alabama was a good team. They weren't great, obviously, the first game of that season, but they've proven that they've improved. Clemson has improved. I'm not disputing that. But the last two games, Boston College and North Carolina, neither one of those teams should be an example of effectiveness. Maybe it raised confidence, but not necessarily effectiveness. You got SMU, that's a team that is a lot faster.
Yeah.
They've got a good quarterback, and they're good on the back end. And like I said, you still got Florida State on this schedule. I'm not too worried about South Carolina, but Pitt looked pretty doggone good too. So I'm just saying that's a lot of confidence, Faxon. And I guess I'd like you to break it down a little bit more so that I can understand where all of that confidence is coming from.
Of course.
Because the last two games cannot be a direct indication. I don't think those were proving grounds. I think they built confidence though.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And like I get, you know, I get from the outsider's perspective looking in, and I also get from an insider's perspective looking in, right, within the fan base, why it's hard to project confidence right now. I think I agree with your assessment that the last two games need to be taken with a grain of salt. I do want to say that. I think we're on the same page as far as that goes. I really think my belief here, John, goes back to the three losses for Clemson on Clemson's schedule. I still think LSU is a top 10 team in the country, to top 15 team in the country, depending on if Nuss can get healthy and they can get everything figured out on offense. And then Georgia Tech is still undefeated with no indication of slowing down, and you lost that game on a walk-off field goal. In my eyes, there's one blip on the radar right now, and it's the Syracuse game. And when I go back and watch the Syracuse game, I see a lot of controllable and a lot of effort-related issues for the Tigers. When I look at this SMU matchup, and then you have Duke, Florida State, at Louisville, Furman, and at South Carolina, I think that I attribute a large part of the blame for the LSU and Georgia Tech and Syracuse losses to pass protection. So that kind of led me to my commentary on, you know, where I think Clemson's going to be if they protect Cade Klubnik and can keep him clean. And then you also have to look at the talent level that these other guys possess on the remainder of the schedule and say, okay, what defensive lines am I playing? For example, SMU, they're going to be aggressive and they're going to blitz you. They try and get after your quarterback and they want to turn you over. They also give up over 300 passing yards per game, which is dead last in the ACC. I think that's an advantageous matchup for Clemson to take advantage of some of those guys down the field if they can get chunk plays and take the top off. I look at a team like Duke.
That's the reason why I wanted you to break it down, because, see, I didn't see that. And again, my wife is about as diehard as any woman can be when it comes to sports as far as Clemson is concerned. You know, motorcycle racing, she's the heck with it. But, you know, she is a diehard Clemson fan. And when you said that the other day, we're both listening, and I'm thinking, there's still a few tough games remaining on this schedule.
Oh, yeah.
And surely the pass protection was probably pretty good because of the opponents you played. Now, I may be wrong by saying that, but that's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah, of course. No, I think it's more than fair to assess it in that way. And I don't think that North Carolina or Boston College are good football teams that have talented front sevens. I do think that Clemson's offensive line is still the biggest question mark with this football team. And I think there's a direct correlation between protection and quarterback play. And that can be said for pretty much everybody throughout the course of the country. But for the Tigers, I think it starts up front. And I think if they are physically imposing on the lines of scrimmage like they have been in the last two games the rest of the way, then you're going to start to see more of the football team that we thought we were getting headed into this season, because the first four games on the offensive line were unacceptable, John, and I think it's a large part of why you lost three of those four games.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing that you also hope for, I think, as a Clemson fan, is that, you know, if SMU does get the kind of pressures that they would like to get, you hope Cade doesn't get happy feet again, because, you know, that presented a problem. So, you know, you're right. If he stays clean and he can stay calm and collected in the pocket and throw the ball down the field, I think with no doubt you've got something. But again, that's why I wanted you to break it down. I didn't see it that way. So thank you for showing me the light. I appreciate it.
For sure. Thanks for the phone call, John. You know you're welcome anytime, and best of luck to your Tigers the rest of the way.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Of course. Yeah, and like again, that's why we have Bengal John on, right? We want to talk things out, be objective, and get to the bottom of things. And I also do understand that projecting Clemson to win their remaining six games is not something that's probable at this juncture, based on the six games that we've seen from this team. But it's going to wrap back to the point that I brought up all year, and it's what I just told John. It starts up front. If your big boys make the decision that they are not going to be stopped, and they are going to set the tone for this football team, and they are going to impose their will physically on every opponent that Clemson plays the rest of the way, you're going 6-0. If you get the O-line play that you have received in the last 2 weeks, you are going 6-0 the rest of the way. That's a big if, and it's still my biggest question about this football team, is whether they're capable of doing that against superior competition or not, which is why I think this is such a big answer to a lot of questions this weekend against SMU.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you. If the offensive line plays like it did last week, you should have the opportunity to win the remaining six games on the schedule. But if that was more of a just product of playing against Boston College, then I think you're going to go 3-3 down the rest of the stretch.
Yeah, this is the biggest test of the season and biggest game of the season for a ton of different reasons this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. If you get the same motivated effort from the offensive line and the front seven you got against Boston College in North Carolina, then I feel very good about this team moving forward.
Yes.
You have to be able to handle things in the trenches.
You do. You have to set the tone physically. Like that's the biggest thing I saw that was a difference in this football team. Everybody wants to hyperfixate on the quarterback. I'm telling you again, it's not about the quarterback. It's about protecting the quarterback. And when you protect the quarterback, you're going to get infinitely better and your offense is going to be infinitely more productive. Do we all wish that the quarterback was better and capable of elevating the talent around him and maybe being a little bit better in and outside of structure with some better decision making? Absolutely. I think every team in the country wishes they had a better quarterback or that their quarterback was playing better. But what I'm telling y'all is when you look back at Cade Klubnik's career, it can be simplified as clean Cade, good Cade, not clean Cade, bad Cade. It can really be simplified to that. And I know that you can take that logic and apply it to a ton of quarterbacks and teams throughout the course of the country. And it's not the most, you know, advanced breakdown of what's going on with the Clemson offense. But when you go back and you watch the tape and you look at the data, Cade Klubnik is a darn good quarterback when he is clean in the pocket. A darn good one. And he's comfortable, and the mechanics are sound, and he's layering the ball, and he's driving the ball down the field, and he's getting mouths fed, and he's getting everybody involved. When he starts getting pressured and having issues IDing that pressure pre-snap as to where it's coming from is when you see bad Cade that starts to make bad decisions and turn the ball over and get reckless with the football outside of structure. Remember the fumble problem that was super evident in year one that legitimately vanished into thin air in year two? A lot of that was as simple as protection was not good, so he was bailing, and then he was making dumb decisions when he was outside of structure and outside the pocket. Last year, protection was better, so he was in the pocket more, and he had a great season and was able to push the ball down the field. So this starts with the big boys. Football has always been about two things. Can you run the football? Can you stop the run? And those two things directly coincide with your lines of scrimmage play. So if you can run the ball and stop the run, you're going to win a lot of freaking football games. If you can't do those two things and also throwing protecting the passer into there, you're not going to be a very good football team. Like, there are so many different data points and analytics and numbers that I could throw at you. That's the most simple way I know how to put it to everybody at home. You can run the ball and you can stop the run. You can win the national championship if you can do that consistently. If you can't do that, you're toast and you got no shot. Let's get Daryl in Boiling Springs in here. 654 Roar is the number. Daryl, always a pleasure. Hope you've been well, brother.
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. Very blessed here on a Wednesday.
Excellent, excellent. I have an opinion, have a theory. Bottom line is, for me, if both Clemson and South Carolina, let's say hypothetically, they both had the best college offensive lines in the country, hypothetically, if that were possible, I think both teams would be undefeated with the talent that they've got.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's more than fair. Yeah, I think offensive line is the most important position in football outside of quarterback, so I think that's 100% right. I would go as far as saying it doesn't matter who you have playing running back if you have an elite offensive line, because they're all in the same skill range. Skill at wide receiver matters a lot more than running back, and same to be said about quarterback and offensive line. So, yeah, if you put Sellers and Cade Klubnik behind two elite offensive lines, you're probably talking about two top five picks in the NFL draft.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, it's see, we've yet to see, and I watch both schools. I've told you guys before, I watch all their games. We've yet to see. We put so much expectation on Sellers. It's a miracle what he did last year. Last year he was so wet behind the ears as far as actual playing time under live bullets that he didn't. I don't think he really realized how much he was running for his life. You know, all the time, and yeah. I think now he realizes I've got A gap and B gap pressure. That game last week, that's the most A gap and B gap pressure I've seen free runners pouring through a college offensive line in quite a while. So
yeah,
even Superman cannot overcome that. And I think he's trying to protect his body a little bit more, and understandably so. So the reckless abandon that he used to show. Now there's more of the, I'm going to take a 45-degree angle here to the sideline and be a much more athletic version of Connor Shaw, because I've got the same speed. He's really fast. He can turn the corner on a lot of guys. But when you got two and three guys busting through the A and B gap coming at you wide open, that messes with your head, and even the best quarterbacks, it takes a while. So he's got what I'm trying to say is, he has a larger history now in his brain of, you know, I'm going to take this snap, and it's probably not going to be good anymore. And so he's got PTSD now. And
yeah,
the only way to overcome that, and I'm hoping with scheme they can overcome it, maybe with the new offense, you know, with what's-his-name taking over at offensive line, maybe he can shore some stuff up. But the common denominator is, it's the line play wasn't great last year at South Carolina, but it was kind of sort of okay. And since Dowell Loggins, the much maligned Dowell Loggins, has left the building, now it's not as good. It's he's running for his life even more than he was last year.
Yeah.
And so now you got to repair his heart and his mind, even though the ability is off the charts.
Oh, yeah. And that much is evidence, Daryl. Like that, Sellers is clearly supremely talented. I mean, we're right up against break, Daryl, so I'm going to have to let you run. But keep calling back in.
Okay,
you know we appreciate
enjoyed
it.
Enjoyed it, guys.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
That's Daryl from Boiling Springs. And hate to cut him off, but we're right up here against break, John.
Two things for you before we go to break. A reminder, Out of Bounds today. This is one of the big ones, folks. They are at Jersey Mike's at Clemson. Coach Sweeney will be there today. Kathleen will be there. Most importantly, she's more important than Dabo. They will be there today.
Oh, yeah. Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly. Out of Bounds, noon to 3 today. Jersey Mike's at Clemson. Coach Sweeney will be on with the guys later on today, so be sure to stay tuned with us. And I also want to tell you about a new shop opening in downtown Pendleton for Men on Exchange. Robert, his dad, Dan, and his two sons make up the four men there on Exchange Street in downtown Pendleton. You've known them from Clemson Sock Shop and Newtique Boutique, and now they are opening a men's store directly across the street there in downtown Pendleton. With a lot of custom leather belts made straight in Pendleton, made locally, candles, soaps, tailgate accessories, new gifts and gear are arriving daily. So whether you're shopping for yourself or just browsing, go see Robert today. They're in a temporary spot right now. Don't mind the mess, because they're getting ready to unveil their 20,000 square foot new permanent location in the spring of next year. That's Four Men on Exchange, downtown Pendleton, and give them a follow on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, thank you for that, John. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in, like Daryl from Boiling Springs, and beat the buzzer. I'll send us to break on one last comment on Lenora Sellers, since that's where the commentary was geared from Daryl. I am not making any firm judgments or opinions on Lenora Sellers as an NFL prospect, because I genuinely don't believe it to be fair. Like, I'm being so serious when I say that. I see a ton of people that are trying to outthink the room on Twitter and break down all this film and say, look at Sellers, and he's taking these negative plays, and he's bailing. He has no time, and he has people running and speeding up the A and the B gap every snap. Is some of the pressure self-induced to a certain extent, and could he cut out some of those habits that are taking big negative gains? Sure. Is this any sort of barometer for what he's going to look like in a pro-style offense at the next level? No, absolutely not. Which is why I think QB evaluation is so hard, and the guys that can do it consistently well get paid millions and millions of dollars, right, and run these franchises, because How are you supposed to look at South Carolina and take anything from this year's tape on the offensive side of the ball and apply it to what can be coached and taught at the next level? You just can't. He's got guys in his face. They're trying to install these pro-level concepts from Shula, and it's just not working. He's got no pocket feel because he's got no pocket. He's got no run game to rely on. It's Lenore Sellers against the world. So I'm giving that young man a lot of lenience with his performance this season because I think they're asking him to carry a not very good football team, and it's a borderline suicide mission every time he snaps the ball in shotgun right now. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. We're talking a ton of different topics in the final segment with Faxon and John.
The Tigers return home to face the SMU Mustangs, and we've got you covered with all the action, starting 6 hours before kick at 9:30 a.m. with the Ingles Tiger pregame show live inside Burton Gallery. The Tiger tailgate show with Faxon and his crew will take over at 12:30. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action, and Donnell Clark and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. If it's Clemson football, it's right here on The Roar, the flagship station for Clemson athletics, where every day is game day.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their four campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
Fans, you know this. Football season is in full swing. And I got to tell you, the best place to get in on all the action is Underdog. I've been enjoying Underdog for over a year now. I've gone all through every sports season, and I got to tell you, a football weekend is just not complete without just a little taste of Underdog. This week, I'll be playing college and pro, and it's the easiest thing in the world. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like passing yards, rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and so much more. And if you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash, which is just bonkers. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus funds or entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Did you know that hot, dry weather can negatively impact your home's foundation because the soil underneath shrinks and cracks and ultimately damages your foundation? And this is more problematic in soil with high clay content, like here in the Upstate. Before those minor issues become major problems, call the experts at Canty Foundation Specialists. They know the importance of being proactive and finding the right solution for you. Book an appointment now at 864-403-5263 or online at cantycanfixit.com.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the Actually Really Seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Fiori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ElkMont TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England, Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Get ready to discover incredible savings with Fort Hill Natural Gas. Say goodbye to seasonal worries and embrace year-round savings by adding gas appliances with cash rebates to your home. But that's not all. Call the office now and find out how you may qualify for residential volume user rate, adding even more value to your energy savings. Ready to start saving big? Visit FHNGA.com and explore the rebate page for more details.
We're here, Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. I always think about your company being a residential tree and shrub company, but from a commercial standpoint, you guys do a great job there as well, right, Eric?
We found that trees don't care where they grow. You know, if it's at your house or if it's at your business, they're still a tree, and we love trees. We love shrubs. In fact, you know, we are the tree care company for Clemson University. So, yeah, we do a lot of commercial work. Big properties, small properties. You can find us on the web at SnyderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Lennox in the Air means money in your pocket. Turn to Heavenly Air of the Upstate LLC for special offers happening today that will put high-quality Lennox air in your home and savings back in your pocket. For a limited time, they're offering up to $1,800 in rebates on a brand-new Lennox system. Or qualified buyers make no payments, incur no interest for 12 months when financing a new Lennox system. Plus, receive up to $2,600 in federal tax credits. Visit heavenlyaire.com today. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. License number RHB587.
105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar. Where every day is game day. Kick it!
The final segment of the show on a Wednesday with Fax and Childress and John Height here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in with us and beat the buzzer. Passing things off now to John as we go around the horn. Where are we starting tonight with what's on the television and more?
Well, tonight we have a college football doubleheader. Well, first off, first thing you need to do is, once the show is over, is head to Jersey Mike's Clemson. Sorry, I'm having a moment over here. Yeah, Jersey Mike's Clemson. For Out of Bounds, Coach Sweeney's going to be out there later today. Go by and see that. But tonight, we have a college football doubleheader. And if it's any good as it was last night, we are all going to be in for a real treat. We have Delaware against Jacksonville State at 7 o'clock on ESPN. We also have UTEP and Sam Houston on CBS Sports Network at 7 o'clock. A reminder, between UTEP and Sam Houston, there is one combined win between both of these teams. The Delaware Blue Hens, their first year in FBS football, are 3-2 in Jacksonville State. 3-3, 2-0 in conference play, so should be a good time tonight for some college football.
Excited for that for sure. I would take Delaware and Sam Houston tonight. Just free ball and throwing something at the board.
I need a casual, easygoing. I'm just like background watching some college football tonight because tomorrow I'm torn and I don't know what to do. And so maybe we can use part of this segment so we don't have to use a lot of tomorrow morning's time when we're going to be out at Whataburger for Tigers for Tatas here in Easley, right there on Calum Memorial Highway. Come by and see us tomorrow morning for a great breakfast or lunch. We'll be there for both opportunities. So tomorrow night I have a conundrum. My second favorite college football team, the East Carolina Pirates, are playing a game at home again because apparently they only play weeknights. I didn't realize East Carolina moved to the MAC, but they're only playing weeknight games this season. They're hosting Tulsa, the team that ended Mike Gundy's tenure there in Stillwater, Oklahoma, at Oklahoma State.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Tulsa has lost the two games after Oklahoma State a combined 76-21?
That is correct.
To Tulane and Memphis?
The two best teams in that league, I think. Maybe Navy's up there as well, but yeah. And South Florida. Two of the four best teams in the league after that big win.
Sorry to interrupt you, but oh my gosh, that loss just ages worse and worse somehow. Okay, proceed.
Yeah, so they're coming to Dowdy Ficklin tomorrow night to take on my Fighting Pirates. So, you know, it obviously going to be watching that. But then we have the NFL game tomorrow night.
I'm excited for this one.
My Pittsburgh Steelers are going to Cincinnati to take on Joe Flacco and the Bengals, which is still such a weird sentence to say. help me pick the main screen. I know I have about a 45-minute window between when the ECU game kicks off and the NFL game kicks off. But help me pick what should be the main screen tomorrow night.
I'm going to go Steelers.
You go Steelers, why?
Steelers should be the main screen because it's a divisional game. If this was a non-divisional game, I would say maybe you go split screen action or you tune into the first half of one and then catch up a little bit later. I think with the divisional rivalry, with the Bengals really playing for any semblance of a season they have left at home, I think you go divisional game. Steelers trying to notch another divisional win would be back-to-back after beating the Browns last week. I think you go Steelers on Prime Video with the full screen. I also think that part of my, you know, answer here is a bit biased because I think ECU might win by 30 tomorrow. So I don't know if that game's going to be very competitive for very long. Maybe I'm wrong.
I've watched a lot of bad ECU football over the years, so if they do win by 30, that actually may be more of a reason for me to stick over there so I can see the points keep flying.
Feel like, oh, we don't get this very often. This is great. It's a great feeling. But yeah, I would go Steelers because it's divisional, and also I think Willie V might strangle you if you watch ECU over the Steelers. So.
Oh, wow, did I just get a text or something? Is that?
I think that might be the case. Yeah, we got Willie V popping up on the personal text lines.
I mean,
he's saying you watch.
If they decide to show up, then yeah.
Did you see Mike Tomlin kind of diss the Cleveland Browns for trading Joe Flacco?
He's 100% right.
He is right. He's like, essentially, just kind of paraphrasing here and don't want to misquote Tomlin. If he's good enough to be your opening day starter, why are you helping a team in your division by trading them help at a position of need? I'm like, yeah, you know what? When you put it like that, Mike, I mean, it's pretty hard to argue.
I think the best part about it, though, is when he threw in the line that the Browns general manager, Andrew Berry, said, well, Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me, I guess. Which is hilarious on so many fronts that the Steelers head coach is saying that the Browns general manager, right after the win, well, I guess that guy must be pretty smart.
Yeah, guess he must. Let me hit a hard pivot here because I got a personal text that came in asking for us to break down a game, and I know we're going to be doing this throughout the course of this week. Duke is now favored. You remember when I told y'all to get in at Duke +3, which was the opening line? Duke is now the favorite over Georgia Tech at home. Noon, Wallace Wade Stadium, the number 12 Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Yes, the undefeated top 12 Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets are coming to call into those Duke Blue Devils at Wallace Wade at Durham. Duke is now a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under is 61.5. Darian Mensah, I think this is the best player in the country. And I trust my eyes here and I trust my gut. Love the kid. Think he's uber talented. If I had the number one pick in the draft tomorrow for my team, I would take that kid with the number one pick in the draft. I think he's that good. Haynes King and Georgia Tech have been rolling on the other side, doing what they do. They run the football. They're going to be physical. They want to play to their identity. They know their limitations, and they don't try and force the issue. Who do you like in this one, and why? What's your initial read on an ACC matchup that has a lot of implications for the ACC championship game because these teams are both 3-0?
This has massive implications in the league. I'm going to take Georgia Tech right now on the road. I think that there isn't the little number next to Duke, but I do think that Brent, he's going to have them thinking like they're playing against a ranked team here because of the standings within the league. Yeah, I like Georgia Tech to be able to run the football, control the clock. I think that Duke may be able to throw a pick here and there. I do like Mensah. I don't know if I'm all the way into your take that he's the best player in college football, but he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. But I do think he can put some things into jeopardy at times. I mean, only 2 interceptions on the year. It's not a ton of them. Don't get me wrong here. But I think he throws one here. I like Georgia Tech. I like Georgia Tech to take care of business on the road. And unfortunately, keep breaking hearts around here in Tigertown.
I'm going to take Duke. And here's the thing for me. Tickets are $25. What?
It's Wallace Wade Stadium.
Listen, this might be the hottest take of the day. Wallace Wade Stadium ain't all that bad now, man.
I'm not saying it's not all that bad, but
those renovations, I know they don't care about football up there in Durham, but maybe Manny Diaz can start changing that, man. $25 to get in the door against a top 12 team on a nooner? Really? If I didn't have obligations here, I might be driving up to that one. That drive's not that bad. That's gonna be a darn good football game. I'll give my official prediction later in the week. I think Duke's gonna win. I think this is. You remember the evaluation I had on Alabama and Missouri last week, where it was this is gonna be a 3-point game, and whoever has the ball last, I like more. Well, I'm going to go the same thing here. And guess what? Alabama's defense stifled Pribula, so I ended up being wrong with that element of it. But I think this is a three-point game one way or another. I think this is 31-28. One of these teams, whoever has the ball last, is going to go down the field and win it. And if we're being completely honest, Georgia Tech is more comfortable in that type of game than Duke is. And that would be my pause with Duke, which is I think this is going to be uber competitive. I think Georgia Tech is the team that's least likely to flinch. Duke might need to get a little bit of a cushion if they want to win it. We'll break it down throughout the course of the week, but man, this is going to be such a good game. I'm so excited, man. Duke's running backs are really good too, y'all.
Yep.
Shepard's a really good freaking player, and then they've got Castle as well as kind of a change of pace guy. This team's hitting their stride at the right time. I'm just excited more than anything. I wouldn't say I have rooting interest. I'm just excited, John. I'm just excited to be here. Along for the ride.
Just excited for some good ACC football.
Exactly. We had a texter get in on a game we're going to preview the next couple days, too, but I did want to give an original, just kind of precursor. Sanford Stadium in Athens, this is a massive freaking football game between the number 5 Rebels and the number 9 Bulldogs. Georgia's already got a loss on their ledger in the SEC, so they can't afford another one if they want to go to Atlanta. And then Ole Miss, they're riding high, you would think, but last week was like an extreme scare as an almost 40-point favorite. So I don't know where I'm at. Georgia's a 7.5-point favorite right now. I think that line's probably fair. I think Georgia's the better football team, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a couple concerns with this Bulldog football team still, right? They look so bad in the first half last week. The defense appears to be taking strides in the right direction, but it's Jackson Arnold, so how much can you really take away from that, you know?
I feel very good about the Georgia Bulldogs' chances this weekend.
Ain't nothing finer in the land.
You had the ugly loss down there in Oxford last year. When was the last time Ole Miss left Oxford? That would be September 6th against Kentucky.
They've been at home for five straight weeks?
That's correct.
Ooh, I didn't realize that.
And your first time going on the road is between the hedges. Yeah, I like Georgia here. Now, Trinidad Chambliss is doing his crazy guy stuff. I think he could have some opportunities here because I think the Georgia secondary is weaker than it has been in years past.
Yeah.
And I don't love their ability to get home after the quarterback. I think his escapability could cause problems. But he has to be – I mean, we all love the performances that he had earlier in the season. You know, Arkansas, Tulane, where he had all the running for 100 and throwing for 300. I think he's going to have to get close to that here if they want to pull this off on the road.
Yeah.
I feel – listen, I don't love this Georgia team. I think it's a good team. I don't think it's an elite team. I have questions about Ole Miss being able to, because this is the type of game that they haven't been able to take that next step.
I also think that
because they beat them at home last year. Going on the road is just such a different challenge.
It's different. And then like quarterback versus quarterback, Gunner has proven multiple times already this year that he's built for the big moment and the big drive. He did it against Tennessee. Heck, he did it against Alabama and hit his dude in the hands. And he also did not call the play to hand the ball off to Cash Jones on 4th and inch. I still can't believe Georgia lost that one, but I do think they're going to get right and get in the win column here. I'll save my official like prediction and full breakdown for the next couple of shows, but yeah, Georgia's going to get right, and they're going to find a way to win that football game. Kirby's got an immense amount of trust for me. Hard right turn once again because there's 2.5 minutes left, and I can't. Rams-Jaguars is the London game this week. I want to take a minute to identify what a lot of people are not realizing is happening because they're just looking at the box score. Travis Hunter has been so good so far this season. He's just not getting the ball enough. As of right now, Travis Hunter has forced 8 missed tackles, which is tied for 5th amongst all NFL wide receivers, and he's not getting the ball. He is a special talent with the ball in his hands. Yak and making people miss was always his calling card in college as a wide receiver. Liam Cohen needs to get him the ball more. And then this last week defensively as well, he's grading out as one of the best corners in the league. It's starting to, you know, be a legitimate thing that this guy is playing 2 sides of the football in the NFL. He's being effective doing both, and he's doing it on a winning team, which leads me to this point. Big bounce back opportunity for the Jaguars this week over in London, John. This is one that I've had circled for a while between the Rams and the Jags. I think very highly of both these football teams. I think very highly of both of these teams' coaching staffs. And for how bad Broncos-Jets was last week, I almost am going to forgive the NFL schedule makers for giving us a banger this week in London. This one's worth waking up for and watching after the church service on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that one, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Jags can accomplish. Your thoughts?
I love that worth waking up, brother. I've already been up for 4 hours at that point.
Yeah.
I, I want to see Trevor Lawrence run the ball a little bit more in this game. I thought that was one of the big keys to beating Kansas City on Monday Night Football when, you know, he was the talk of the country. I'd like to see him run it a little bit more in this spot. But no, I do agree with you. This should be a much better and much more entertaining contest than the one we had last week over across the pond.
13-11. I'm still pissed at that game that I wasted my time watching that one. Goodness gracious, it was awful. Awful, awful, awful. Couple texts to get to before we get out of here. Texter says, Jags get it done in London, and he'll tweet me the link on something. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, and I tend to think that the Jags might get it done, too. I really loved watching Liam Cohen and the way he addressed his team after a loss. It was very mature. He doesn't have the demeanor of a first-time head coach. And everybody was clowning on him for the whole Duval, and then people thought he was quirky and looked weird and said it weird. That guy can coach football, man. And that guy can lead a group of young men, John. I've been very impressed with him.
I guess what? We all look a little weird and quirky when we say Duval publicly for the first time.
That's probably a good point. Get out to Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's in Clemson is the place to be. That's where William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead will take care of you today with our Tigers for Tatas campaign. Faxon and John signing off. See you at 9 a.m. tomorrow, everybody.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560.